Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news in the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We got a great show for you today, and if you want to call and ask questions, 323-870-3857. Let's get started with it. DAZN. Wonderful card over there. Conor Benn versus Peter Dobson. Habib, listen, man. Why are we paying for this? Why would anybody pay for this nonsense? This was a pay-per-view. Just answer me that first. Before we even go into the fight, is this worth $20 a month for?
This fight was not one of the greatest
Thank
fights.
Thank you. No. All right, there you go. The answer to the question, yes or no? It's a yes or no question. It's a yes or no. No, it's not, is it? Yes. Not even close. Was this worth, let me say, let's break it down, $5 a week. $5 a week, all right? That equals 20, all right? Was it worth $5?
Probably five. I wouldn't say.
Was it five? Really? Five? You'd have paid five? So you would have plunked down $5 to watch that fight.
We had this.
If it was on pay-per-view.
This is like asking a crack addict if they would fucking pay $20 for some crack. I mean,
this
you're asking, asking a sick person.
This, I mean, listen, and again, if this was something that didn't include pay-per-view, I'd be all over it. And you say $30 a month, I'll do it, all right? I'll do it, you know? But paying for this nonsense and then having to pay extra to watch Anthony Joshua and Francis Ngannou, a guy that has what? One professional fight, by the way. One professional fight, right?
You're not going to buy that one?
Yeah, I'm going to buy that one. Okay. But a guy that has one professional fight, why would that be on pay-per-view, though? That's not a pay-per-view card. That's not a pay-per-view fight. $30 a month. I would say this. At $30 a month, which is what they charge, if you don't have a contract, because if you pay $20 a month, then you have to pay, you're in. You have to pay it for the entire year. I get it.
Mine's $18.75 a month.
Anywho, all right, so $30 a month. Right? Because it might as well be 60 because you have to cancel 30. Be that as it may. $30 a month. And I get that. That is what I get. No. No, thank you. No way. Absolutely not.
Yeah. I think...
I am your leader. I am with you. Why would I pay $30 a month? Exactly. I'm not going to.
I think Eddie's trying to keep Connor busy. And stop.
Good. Good. And he does it on our dime.
No, but Peter Dobson, I thought, was going to go the distance. A lot of people thought he was going to get knocked out. Seen him fight before. He's a decent-sized fighter. He's, you know, he's big. Big, thick kid. I thought he was big enough to handle Conor Benn. I thought he was durable enough. And I thought he was crafty enough to go the 12. He, you know, he's good at rolling shots. He's good at rolling shots. He's a little sneaky counter puncher. Another one of these guys that has a pretty tight defense. And Conor Benn was landing some good right hands every now and then, but he was rolling, like I said, rolling a lot of the shots. And he was kind of rolling and shooting back with his right hand. So
that's the way to do it. Yeah, it really is the way to do it, is come off that counter like that. You know what I mean?
The kid could fight, but Conor Benn, he's a little rougher on the edges. But with that being said, he is an explosive kid. He's fast. He's got fast hands, fast feet. But he goes one speed. You know what I mean? And everything is pedal to the metal, full blast. You know, the guy's stuck in fourth gear, right?
Yeah.
And tends to kind of get a little wild with these shots, loads up. And because he's so quick and athletic, he can get away with it with this level of opposition. Question is, when he steps up, I don't know if he's going to get away with it because he was getting touched up a little bit yesterday. Nothing serious, but he was getting his head snapped back on occasion, but hit with a few uppercuts up close. Mm-hmm. Dobson was able to make Conor Benn have to work, right? And he came out a little bit slow, Dobson, but then he started feeling comfortable, started picking up the pace himself. Conor Benn got caught off guard a little bit, but Conor Benn was the busier guy. He was landing more shots. And, he was backing up Dobson, in large stretches of the round in this fight. But Dobson was there to the very end. He hung in there. He made Conor Benn work. And Conor Benn had a good performance. It was kind of like a good workman-like performance.
I mean, this guy, it was like a sparring session, though. 119, what were the scores here? 119, 109,
yeah,
118, 110 twice. I mean,
this
was a little over a glorified sparring session, though.
Yeah, I gave Dobson two rounds. Maybe could have given him three, but I gave him two. So it was a clear decision for Conor Benn. But it wasn't anything that would set the world on fire. With all due respect to Peter Dobson, he's like probably a top 25, top 30 guy. And he was hanging in there. You know what I mean? He was competitive in spots, right? And I know it's a fight, and I know you're going to have some resistance, but he offered up a lot more resistance than people expected. And even the commentators were surprised that he was able to land some of these shots clean on Conor Benn.
Yeah.
Now, Conor Benn does get a little overzealous, a little over-aggressive in there. Like I said, his offense isn't overly sophisticated, at least when you compare him to other fighters at 147. There's a lot of decent fighters up there that are going to give him problems. Like Boots Ennis, I think, would tear him apart.
Yeah.
And then I guess Tank was calling him out. I even think Tank was probably...
What is going on, and I tell you, what is going on with Tank? I mean, that's a guy, another guy who, who's he got next? You know what I mean?
It's funny, too, because he said, he hinted that his next fight was in the UK a couple of weeks ago. Conor Benn's due to have that suspension, suspension's lifted, but that appeal is supposed to come up. I think... more than likely going to win the appeal. So he'll probably be able to box sometime after.
Eddie can afford that appeal. I'm sure Eddie can afford to wipe that off his record.
Yeah, so he should be cleared to box in the UK by the end of February. So imagine if they do Tank.
It's a big one.
Tank and Conor Benn in the UK.
That's a big one, right? That's huge. That's a huge fight.
That would be amazing, bro.
Huge fight. Yeah. But I think that... Tank crushes him. I think if Conor Benn, they were talking about the other guy, the one who was going to fight him.
Was Eubank Jr.?
Eubank Jr., that's it.
Yeah.
So Eubank Jr. says he's not interested in fighting Benn at all.
Well, here's the problem. Now, if Conor Benn doesn't have a license from the BBOC, and he's not licensed to fight in Great Britain, and he fights somebody in Great Britain, that fighter that fights him could jeopardize their license. So I believe Chris Eubank, is just waiting for everything to get cleared, settled and cleared, and then he'll sign for the fight. I'm still not crazy about that fight because I think Chris Eubank Jr. is going to hurt the kid if he fights him.
Yeah, I thought so too. I've always thought that.
And based off what I've seen in these last two fights, where he's not able to hurt these guys. Because these last two fights, I think one of them was at like 150, 152-ish, 153-ish, and this one was at 150, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's not putting a dent in these guys, right? So
yeah.
if he can't hurt Chris Eubank Jr., that's going to be a problem for him.
Oh,
and
for sure.
And I know Chris Eubank Jr. can hurt him.
Yeah.
I know that.
Oh, yeah. For sure. For sure.
So I think that's a bad fight for Conor Benn, really.
Now, this next one is interesting. Joshua Buatsi versus Dan Aziz. Excuse me. Buatsi wins a unanimous decision over Aziz by the scores of 116, 110, 117, 109 twice. Buatsi knocked down Aziz twice in the 11th. And it was interesting because I couldn't find this fight anywhere, and it wasn't listed anywhere. But I talked to Beebs today, and he said it was on Peacock. So I went back and looked at the stream. That Peacock, that is a nice stream. We were talking about that earlier, man. That stream is flawless. You said you were watching that fight on your phone and you can make calls and everything like that. I mean, it's a heck of an app. Yeah.
When I was at the gym, I started watching the card on my phone and people called me.
Yeah.
And I just muted the stream and I was able to talk and watch at the same time. You can't do that with the Zone and ESPN Plus. You have to, have the app on without being on the phone. But that was a very, very good fight. Now, here's the thing with that fight. The scores were wide. But now we talk about how you can win every round or win a majority of the rounds, but the rounds still be competitive.
Yeah.
So the scorecard's not always an accurate description on how competitive
the
fight
is. Yeah, for sure.
This was that. Now, I had it 118 and 108. I only gave Aziz 2 rounds, but I could see 3. 4 is not impossible, but I think consensus was probably 3, right? I gave him 2. But thing about Pulaski, since he's gotten with Virgil Hunter, he's real. I remember watching him early in his career, and he was more of an outboxer, but he's really added a wrinkle to his game. He's a phenomenal inside fighter, and he's a much, much better combination puncher. The way he sets shots up, he throws feints now. He's got a very one about sophisticated offenses. Since he's got with Virgil Hunter, his offense has gotten much more sophisticated than it was early on. Before, he had some Conor Ben-like tendencies because he's an athletic, quick guy too.
Yeah.
But now he realizes now that he's stepping up, he's got to add more layers and bring more to the table than just his athleticism. And he showed that. Ben Aziz, I think, was just a step too slow in comparison to Boazzi, and Boazzi, I think, is a better inside fighter, puts the shots together a little bit more fluidly up close. But Dan Aziz had some success from the outside. He landed a good jab every now and then, and the right hand was pretty sharp from distance. And he can hold his own on the inside, but Boazzi is just on another level when it comes to inside fighting in comparison to him. And Boazzi was doing beautiful body work. He threw some really sharp uppercuts. And in that 11th round, Boazzi kind of stepped back a little bit and let Aziz come in because Aziz knew he was behind, so he's coming out a little bit more aggressive. And I think I gave him the 11th, right? So I didn't give him the 11th. But I saw him come on in the 11th a little bit because he knew he was behind and his trainer was really
– Yeah, he was down. Wasn't he down twice in the 11th? Was that –
He was down twice in the 11th, right? Because he knew that he was behind, and he
kind of let it go. Yeah,
he had to come out strong. Yeah. Boazzi with his experience and his poise and just having this added layer of development in his boxing ability. Right, talk about adding the layers. He stepped back and just shot a counter right in and caught him reaching in. So I think Boazzi, right, arguably could be the best. Based off of just potential and eye test, he could be the best fighter in the light heavyweight in the UK. He could be the best light heavyweight in the UK. Now, better be even Bibble. They're on another level. But this guy could be the next guy underneath them, right? He has a lot of talent, Boazzi. So I think he could beat Caleb Smith, I think he could beat guys like Lyndon Arthur, right?
He's got a lot of talent. He's got a lot of talent. And I tell you what, and I'm glad you mentioned Anthony Yard. That's a good fight.
I may favor him. He probably could beat Anthony Yard, too.
Yeah.
Because he has a lot more weapons in his repertoire.
That's what we like. That's what we like. More ways to win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's what it's about. We talk about, Virgil Hunter a lot, and we've seen Virgil Hunter do great with Andre Ward and not so great with a lot of other fighters.
Yeah,
and he seems to have made a difference here.
He has.
And we always take for granted that just because somebody goes and trains with Emmanuel Stewart, that he's going to be great. And that's not always the case. Look at Jermaine, what was the guy's name? Jermaine Taylor. Still just wasn't never really bought in, you know. And I think you have to buy into what Virgil, but you also have to be the style of fighter he likes, and that he can train, you know what I mean, and that he works well with. And I think maybe he's found him with this guy.
All right. This is one of those relationships that clicks. You can see it.
For sure.
You can see it.
For
you can
sure.
See it. He's in the corner. He's listening, and he follows the instructions. He's a very good fighter. I think him and I would absolutely love to see him versus Anthony Yard.
It's a good fight.
Love that, but I have a feeling because of I don't want to get ahead of the schedule here, but that June 1st card that's supposed to come up, they're supposed to do a 5-on-5. I have a feeling it's going to be Callum Smith versus Anthony Yard, because it's going to be the Frank Warren versus Eddie Hearn.
Oh, that's a good one.
I have a feeling they will do Callum Smith versus Anthony Yard, because that's another huge fight, you know. So
that's awesome, man. That is awesome. But, and that's going to go over huge in England too.
I think Bwatsi is the WBA mandatory, or at least he's going to be the WBA mandatory when they order it. So he will be in line for a title shot. I think he was offered a shot at, I believe it was Bivol, but he didn't take it. So hopefully this time, if he is offered a title shot, maybe he does take it. So we'll see.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Yeah, everybody, smash that like button if you guys are out there and you guys are enjoying what we're doing. Go ahead and hit the like button, man. It doesn't cost you anything. I mean, come on. Help us out here. All right, let's talk about that was it for the action. Let's go to next week. It is February 4th. Okay, talk to me about this again, B. Why is this fight on a Thursday? February 8th, ESPN, Teofimo, Jermaine Ortiz. Why is this fight on a Thursday?
Yeah, I guess they're saying because it's Super Bowl week and they don't want to kind of...
Saturday? I mean, Saturday? If you're going to put on a fight, Super Bowl weekend is, why would you not put it on there?
And then they're talking about the call. I think there's college basketball on at that time.
I mean,
college football. I mean,
college basketball, but I mean, it's not, we're not in March Madness yet. You know, I don't know.
I
know what they're doing at ESPN, not me, but I'm just saying. It's weird to have it on a Thursday night. And then let's hope that it comes off at a good time and it's not midnight before we get in the main event.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We'll see.
So let's talk about this here. February Thursday, ESPN, ESPN Plus, Teofimo Lopez Jr. versus Jermaine Ortiz for Lopez's WBO Junior welterweight title. I don't hate the fight. It's not a bad fight.
I like the fight.
It's a pretty good fight. Ortiz isn't bad.
Jermaine Ortiz is live.
He's a live. Yeah, this is a live dog here, man.
And if Teofimo Lopez is off just a smidge.
Yeah.
He could lose this fight.
He could lose this fight.
Because Jermaine Ortiz is a very well-rounded fighter. And I think where Jermaine Ortiz can excel here is on the inside, because Teo likes to fight in that mid-range, likes to move around a lot, go in and out a lot. He's very athletic.
Yeah.
Really good counterpuncher. But, you know, Jermaine Ortiz is really good at throwing feints. He's a slickster, and he's tough. He's very well-rounded. He knows how to fight.
This isn't a walk in the park, man, or it shouldn't be anyway.
And he hits hard enough where he can get your attention.
But
he's not a feather-fist fighter.
I will tell you this, though. I don't know what it is about Teofimo, but anytime you think he's going to be in a tough fight, it's like he walks them.
Well, here's the problem, too, with
Teofimo.
Here's the problem, too, with Teofimo. He's already looking ahead, and he's talking about all these other fights with Matias and Haney and Hank and all this. And he's not really talking much about Ortiz.
Yeah.
So we've seen Teo be up and down. He won a razor-close decision against Sandor Martin. Some people actually think he lost that fight, right?
Yeah.
So if he's not dialed in.
Oh, yeah.
And he's not, like, motivated for the fight, right?
Yeah, it could definitely be.
And this could be a potential banana skin.
D-Style, thank you so much, my friend. Ortiz is the writer of those divisions, going to be known for losses. He could be right. He could be right.
Show the guy some respect, man, please. From Massachusetts.
It's not like he's from Titletown. I mean, you know, I mean, come on.
He's not from El Paso. He's from Massachusetts.
He's from El Paso.
Beantown, baby.
That's right. Yeah, I got ties to El Paso, too. Hey, we can make that Titletown as well. That's where D-Style is. In El Paso?
Yeah.
That's his stomping ground.
That's not Titletown, please.
It's not. Oh, stop it. It's the matter.
We're Titletown, man. We got the Patriots. We got the Celtics. I mean,
talk about,
man.
We got the Bengals.
Hey, Steve.
You talking about
Rocky
the Bengals?
Marciano?
We got the Browns. Who?
Rocky Marciano. Marvelous Marvin Hagler.
They didn't have cars back then. Marciano? Wasn't he barefisted? Wasn't he the bare knuckles? Marciano? Come on. Stop it. We talking about Ezra Charles, son. Yeah. Ezra Charles. Bad boy.
But guess who knocked him out?
Who?
Fucking Marciano.
He was 110 years old when he fought him.
Yeah,
yeah, he was.
Not like that guy. Look at that. Coming to America. Coming to America.
Joe Louis was 156 years old when he fought him.
He was 135 years old when he fought him.
All right. On the undercard of the Teofimo Lopez fight. And it's not a bad undercard either, I'll tell you that. Keyshawn Davis versus Jose Pedraza, 10 rounds, lightweights. That's a good fight. That's a really good fight. Now, listen, man, Keyshawn should win this. Jose Pedraza is not the same fighter he was. It's still a dangerous fight. It's still a good – I want to see it. You know what I mean? It's still a good fight. Abdullah Mason, who's a good fighter, up-and-comer, versus Benjamin Grimmett. Let's see here. Who else here? Oh, page just refreshed. God, want it. Let's see here. Javier Martinez versus Raul Solomon. Charlie Sheehy versus Abdel Sauceda, excuse me. Yeah, so like I said, the top three will be on ESPN, I imagine. Abdullah Mason, Keyshawn, and Teofimo. I like it. I like it. I like the card. I think it's going to be good. And hey, it's going to break it up on a Thursday, you know?
Like it. Good card.
Even G Funky said Joe Louis was 175 years old when they fought. I told you.
No,
that's what I got to do. I got to get a suit in my profile picture. See how good he looks in the suit and everything like that. He's all dressed up, man. I got to get that, man. I got to put that in my profile.
Please, G, don't gas this kid up.
You know what we got to do is we got to get me in a suit and I'll put that logo of Baltimore in the back. I'm the king of Baltimore.
G Funky's the boss. You can't be G Funky.
I'm a swagger jacket. What am I going to do?
You only get one boss.
We're his underbosses. Yes, right.
Only one guy gets the ring kiss.
Hey, it is what it is. Maybe we can be a capo in this crew. I don't know.
Capo in this crew, man. You have to fill out an application.
Good luck. And then the 10th. This will be on the Saturday on DAZN, Beeb. This is a fantastic card. Liam Dillon versus Reese Bilotti, 12 rounds for Dillon's British Junior lightweight title. On the undercard, the co-main there, Shannon Ryan versus Emma Dolan, 10 rounds for the vacant British Junior bantamweight women's title. Beeb, what is this nonsense?
Great. It's a great card.
What is this nonsense, Beeb? I want to know. I'm holding, you know what? I'm done. I'm holding you personally responsible for the crap that DAZN puts out there until they put out a good fight. I'm holding you responsible.
I'm paying $18.75 a month for it.
You're paying $18.75 a month.
Hey,
why?
A month for the, I mean,
for to see Liam Dillon and Reese Bilotti?
It's cheaper than going down to the local Chinese buffet and getting a dinner 15A, man. I mean, I can't complain.
A dinner 15A? What is 15A?
Boston sauce, fried rice, boneless spare ribs, and chicken fingers. One of my favorites. The Beeb classic when he goes.
Did you know lobster sauce doesn't contain any lobster at all?
No, it's ground pork.
No, the sauce itself is not made with lobster at all.
No, it's ground pork.
They don't make the sauce with ground pork. Ground pork is in the dish, but they don't make the sauce with ground pork.
Oh, you're talking about the liquid part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what it is?
That's called the sauce.
It's
like
chicken
stock and eggs or something, isn't it?
No, it's chicken stock, oyster sauce.
Yeah, I like oyster sauce.
Black bean sauce.
That's good, too.
And a little bit of sherry.
You know what?
The Beeb has made that homemade before.
I'm going to tell you what. I would
work. You have to get it restaurant quality.
I got to work at a Chinese restaurant just for a week. That's it. That's all I would need.
You'll put on at least 20 pounds. That food is
at least. I know. It's my favorite. It's by far my favorite food.
When I go to the buffet and I go up like one or two times, they have to refill all the pins. I love the buffet, man. The buffet is insane. I love the buffet.
We had one Chinese buffet. Like, you could go up there and you get a plate and you're just stuffed afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what they do. I don't know what kind of chemical is on there, but you are just stuffed. I'm like, I can't
move. They put stuff in that food that makes you want to eat and eat and eat. It should be illegal.
MSG. It's that MSG, isn't it, they put in there?
And all types of chemicals.
Accent. Remember, Accent is like the store brand is Accent, but that's MSG.
Once you start eating that food, man, it fires up all the excitotoxins in your body. You just want to eat more, man.
I could care less, man. Listen, they could put crack in that food, and I'd still be eating it, all right? I wouldn't care. It's so good. Would you eat it with crack in it?
I feel like I'm on a witness stand when I come on this show. I mean, they're fucking intoxicated. They're going to get me fired one day by this line of questioning.
JC said oysters are a natural Viagra. There you go.
We don't have to worry about that.
You take regular Viagra?
Dr. Robbie. Captain Cialis.
He said the blue pill. You see, there's a blue pill and another pill. I just take the blue pill. It doesn't matter. Aztecs 18 said they put cancer in that food.
Please.
Listen, we're going to go sometime, man. I might as well go eating Chinese. I don't care. Tony Yayo says he's scared of buffets since COVID. Do not.
I've had people say that to me.
Yeah, I don't. You know what? I get it. I don't go to buffets. My dad loved buffets. So he would always go to, you know, we would always go to buffets or whatever. But I was never really that big on buffets, man. I never really was. Because, yeah, you see, like, all these people, like, dipping food out and stuff like that. But it's all, like, utensils. I mean, it's all clean until you get the dude sneezing over there, you know.
Little kids will run up to it and stick their face.
I know, right? You know, what is that? You know, grabbing a big hand of whatever, you know.
Oh, my God. It's crazy.
Yeah, I like steakhouses, too. JC said steakhouses. I like steakhouses, too.
The old back steakhouse. Get a nice blooming onion.
Those are good. Who would have thought you'd eat a whole onion and not complain about it? You know what I mean? Like a whole onion?
I feel like I've got an anvil in my stomach after eating one of those things.
Oh, I know, right? Brazilian steakhouses. He's right. Brazilian steakhouses are the best. You ever eat one of those?
I have, yeah.
Oh, those are ridiculous, man. They bring out those big skewers and they just slice the meat off on there and they just keep coming, boy.
7,000 grams of sodium in that food, too.
Can you imagine? Yeah. I mean, for sure. D Style and Alexander Wilson said buffets, say no to buffets. Buffets are very dirty. I think that's probably true. I don't care.
I mean, listen to them. They're elitists, all right? They're above going to buffets.
How do you know, like the food trucks and stuff, they go to five-star. You know what I'm saying? Like,
those guys go to five-star restaurants, man. They're too good to go to buffets. Don't listen to them.
Texas has the best steaks. I gotta say, you're probably right. I mean, why not, you know? All right, here. So let's go. We did the upcoming fights. All right, news and rumors here. Let's talk about the big elephant in the room called Tyson Fury. Your boy, Beeb. Fury and Usyk postponed to May 18th. Fury suffered a cut in sparring, and let me tell you what, it's bad. They've already rescheduled for May 18th, but honestly, man, I don't know if that's enough time. That cut is massive. It happened in sparring. His sparring partner looked like he threw a short, what was it, left hand, wasn't it?
Like an elbow?
It was a short left hand that missed. And he caught him with his elbow. His partner didn't, like, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't intentional or anything like that. They were both fighting inside. He threw a short left hand, missed him with his fist and came across with his elbow.
Yeah.
And let me tell you what, nothing opens up a cut faster than an elbow. You know, you've seen it in MMA a million times. As soon as you get tagged with that elbow, as hard as it is and stuff, you're opening up. Especially anywhere around the eye where your skin is thinner, anywhere around the eye when you're right on bone, yeah, you're opening up, man. And that's. And it's bad, man. They need 11. You said 15 stitches for this cut.
That was 15.
Yeah, and now he needed 46 after the Wallen fighter. You said 48 or something like that. I don't
47.
Somewhere
47
around
stitches,
that.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this, man. And again, they postponed it to what, May 18th.
Correct.
May 18th. All right. And I'm gonna tell you, man, that it's a bad cut. And you got to figure the scar tissue. You said that it's on the same eye as the Usyk or as the Otto Wallin.
Yeah.
Same eye. So
not as bad. Not as bad. It's not as long, but it is deep.
Deep.
Like, it
looked
a deep
real cut. Deep. I guarantee that was to the bone. I bet you any money that was to the bone. You know, because it looked really bad. You know, but you know, I don't. My big fear is, like I said, man, I don't know that it's going to be 100% ready. You know, again, you've got 6 weeks to heal, and then you got a training camp for another 8 weeks. I know Usyk, when he heard the news, started sparring. He's not kidding. He doesn't care. He's in shape. He'll go, you know. But, Beeb, do you think he'll be ready by May 18th?
Well, I look at the other fight with Wilder, the rematch, and the Wallen fight happened, I think, with the 47 stitches. The Wallen fight happened like 4.5 months after that. The second Wilder fight, excuse me, happened 4.5 months after the Wallen fight, and that was with 47 stitches.
Come on, 3 months here, man. 3 months.
Yeah,
3 month turnaround.
This is going to be, so what are we, in February? So
yeah, little over 3 months, maybe 3 months and some change, like
February,
a week or
March,
two.
March, April, yep. April to May. It's like 3.5 months. 4 to 6 weeks.
Looking at 12 weeks. About 15 weeks. Let's say about 15 weeks.
15 weeks, exactly. So it's 15 weeks, right? So it's 3 months and 3 months and 3 weeks.
So yeah,
almost,
so eight weeks to train, 6 months to heal, or 6 weeks to heal, eight weeks to train.
I believe he'll be fine. I think he'll be fine.
You know, I just, anytime somebody gets cut like that, I worry about it. You know what I mean? Because that's a big time cut.
Yeah. I think he'll be fine. And, you know, I think that was a freak accident. And it was very unfortunate. And even with the headgear on, you still have that space.
What?
You know.
And then we talked about this too. Now, it was like a more open headgear. But they do have like the winning headgear that comes in. They have certain ones that come in like that. And protect.
Well, he had the cheek protectors. He did,
but he didn't have the nose bar across the front.
He didn't have. He didn't
and
have the nose bar
when you do that, it like, you know, it takes all this out, you know. And I don't know if he was sparring with those, if he would have got cut over his eye. To be honest.
It's still possible.
It's
but
possible,
maybe,
but not
maybe,
probable.
Maybe it would have been. Maybe it would have been harder.
Yeah.
I don't want to speculate one way or the other.
But it doesn't. You know. Yeah. It's not. I understand why they want the open face. I get it. Don't get me wrong.
Because you got to understand, you could still get the elbow in that eye, that eye space. So,
well, you know, I think they got to think about this, especially when all this money's on the line, all this stuff's on the line. You know, there's certain precautions I think you probably need to take. But
Maestro made a good point. He said, "Why don't the sparring partner wear elbows? And that, you know, for the next camp, elbow pads." And another thing I would say,
I'm not 100% sure. I will tell you this: I'm not 100% sure that would have protected him.
Yeah,
when you get hit with an L, I mean,
maybe it's just. I know the bony part is what does the damage, but it's also the pressure too.
Yeah,
like the amount of blunt force trauma that you suffer.
Well, you can grind your forearm and you know what I mean, and somebody's and it hurts, man. It really does, and again, especially when you're dealing with any kind of skin on the face or around your eye, forehead, anywhere. Yeah, you're opening up, man. And D-Style's right. It was a freak accident. No question. No question about it. Definitely a freak accident. And, you know, that's the thing. I mean, he's right. It's a freak accident. And we can Monday morning quarterback it all day long. But, again, you know, this is probably how he always gets ready. I know he was probably going to stop sparring here soon. But this is how he always gets ready for fights. So it's great to say he could have, would have, should have, but if this is how he always does it, you know, it's tough.
Yeah.
I guess my question too, does this affect Usyk in any way? And personally, I don't think it does. I think that Usyk is just one of those guys that this is what he does.
Well, here's what people forget. Since Usyk moved up to heavyweight, right? He's fought once a year. He's fought once a year since moving up to heavyweight. And after the Joshua first fight, he didn't fight him again until 11 months later, right? And then he was off a whole year before he fought Daniel Dubois. So Usyk had long breaks in between fights. It's not just because he was waiting around for Fury. Like I said, he's fought once a year since 2019. Right? So it doesn't seem to affect him. I think if the breaks affect Fury more than they affect Usyk. Because Fury's kind of that guy that's volatile in between fights.
Right.
I don't think he's as disciplined with his diet and stuff. But again, he looked in phenomenal
shape. He looked in good shape.
In really good shape. He didn't look this good since the Klitschko fight, in my opinion.
But I'll keep going back to this, man. And, you know, logically on paper, Fury has more ways to win because we can see Fury knocking him out. I can see it because he's a big guy. He's knocked out Deontay Wilder. Why couldn't he knock out this guy? He can knock you out because he's so big. He can outbox you. He's bigger. He can outpunch you. Usyk is also a great boxer. Usyk's also a really great boxer. But what I'm looking at is that last fight with Ngannou.
Yeah.
And if AJ goes in, I'm going to tell you this, that'll be the telltale sign. If AJ goes in there and wipes out Ngannou, like we're all expecting, at least like I'm expecting, then I think that Fury fight is on, the writing's on the wall. I really do.
So let me ask you this. Why not just take that Ngannou fight out and just say, hey, that was a bad night? And then?
Because it was who it was against. It was against a guy whose skill level was nowhere near what Fury had. Nowhere near. That would have been like, I mean, it was just, had no skill level. Again, you're taking a guy who does this part, you know, a different sport, putting him into the ring. That's like taking somebody out of like ping pong, putting him in front of Serena Williams, you know what I mean? Or whoever the tennis guy is now. It's two different sports.
Could he have been just a little bit better than we thought he was?
No. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to reserve judgment on that because I've already said I don't think he's that good. But I will tell you this, because he didn't look great in that fight. I'll be honest with you. And Ngannou didn't look great in that fight. It's not like he was fighting like, you know, like he looked like Sugar Ray Leonard out there.
Okay.
He was plodding. He was just, you know, but he was controlling that fight, I think, with his power, and he knocked him down. Again, it's going to depend on, and I know I'm the, you always hear me say combat math doesn't work, but what we're looking at is Ngannou, his durability, not Tyson's durability. Now we're going to look at Ngannou's durability. And again, he got this fight off a loss, not a win, off a loss. AJ will run right through him in four rounds. That's what I'm predicting. Yeah,
I'm predicting a decision. I think AJ is going to kind of fight a little bit more reserved in this fight because he knows he's got bigger fights down the road, and I don't think he wants to take any chances with this guy because this guy is very durable. You see the size of this guy's neck. See the size of this guy's head.
No, listen, man, that guy's a big, strong guy.
Big,
strong guy. Listen, and, you know, you're not going to be able to, you know, there's certain things, again, that you have to take into consideration. You're not going to be able to rough this guy up as far as, like, grab him and move him around and everything. He's going to be stronger than you. And he's going to be more skilled in that department than you.
Joshua's not a great inside
boxer.
Yeah, Joshua's not a great inside fighter either. This guy's knows how to grapple a little bit. And
he does. He does.
How to muck it up. He knows how to muck it up a little on the inside.
But I'll be honest, his boxing didn't look good. His boxing did not look good against Fury. And the way he was able to handle Fury in that fight, like I said, we both gave him the fight.
Yeah, I thought he won the fight.
So if he comes out and does the same thing to AJ, the Tyson Fury thing, off the table. And we don't even need to talk about that anymore because we know he's pretty good.
You don't think that Fury just didn't think that?
It doesn't matter. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter, Beef. I don't care if he took vacation all through, didn't train a lick, and got in there. It shouldn't have mattered.
So your argument is even Fury at his worst should never struggle with that?
Never.
Okay.
Never.
All right. I think we're going to see a much better Fury against Usyk. I think the conditioning shows that. I think he was grossly out of shape. And here's what you have
knocked
to understand.
Knocked down, Beeb.
I understand.
Put on his behind.
But they scheduled a fight 5 weeks later after the Ngannou fight. You know what I'm saying? They scheduled a fight 5 weeks later after the Ngannou fight. So they just really probably didn't.
Man, and you could say Fury, you know, Grievous says Fury came in looking like a piece of lard. You know,
I just don't think Fury.
Listen, we've seen him come in. He's never been a body beautiful when he came in there.
Yeah.
His first and second fight against Wilder, he looked awful.
I just don't think.
Physically.
I just don't think mentally Fury felt there was a threat there. And I just think he wasn't dialed into the fight. He didn't have fear there. He didn't have a fear of losing.
Again,
right?
It shouldn't matter.
Sometimes when you like a lot of times like Sugar Ray Leonard, I go back to that Kevin Howard fight, and when he got knocked down there, because again, like he just didn't get up for the fight. But if you don't get like Teofimo Lopez lost George Kambosos, Sandor Martin had struggled. Like
yeah.
If you're not mentally dialed in and you don't have that fear of losing, you don't have that threat in your mind, like when you're looking at someone and you just don't have that threat, like the warning bells don't go off in your head and you just don't feel that there's danger there.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to get up to that fight.
I get it. You know? Kevin Howard, Sandor Martin, and Kambosos, all boxers though.
Yeah.
All boxes. We're still not even comparing apples to oranges, or apples to apples. We're still apples and oranges with this guy who doesn't even box, not a boxer at all.
Yeah.
Comes in here and does this to the world champion.
Yeah. You can't get past it, huh?
I can't.
Okay.
I can't. There's no way you can get past it.
You're going to be surprised.
If AJ struggles the same way, I'll be shocked.
You're going to be surprised on May 18th.
I'm going to be surprised at how easy Usyk wins. Yes,
and I'm glad that there's a lot of people like you out there because I'm going to get such great odds when I bet.
Yeah. What are the odds for the fight, by the way? I thought Fury was ahead on the odds. No,
he's a slight favorite. It's almost a pick'em.
Yeah, I would say I'm surprised. I'm surprised it's a pick'em. You know,
yeah.
I'm surprised.
I think Joshua will win a decision against Ngannou. I think Ngannou may win like two or three rounds and that's it.
I think Joshua puts him away. I think they
end
up in this.
A lot of people do. A lot of people do.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Let's talk about this one too before we go to the phones here and I'll bring Robbie on. So rumors are swirling that Canelo Alvarez will face the other Charlo brothers. Is Jermell? The heavier one is Jermell. And
Jermall
in May. All right, the other Charlo brother in May. And after that, he will fight Terrence Crawford in September, leaving Benavidez out in the cold.
Now
this was on ESPN. This was on, I know Stephen A. was talking about it. Mike Coppinger, I think, had wrote about it, I believe. I'm not, don't quote me on
keep
that.
In,
but.
Keep in mind, this is the same ESPN, I think it's ESPN Deportes or something like that. The Mexican.
Yes. And he's like a renowned journalist over there. Yeah.
It's the same person that said he was going to fight Berlanga.
Why are you? Come on, stop it, dude. You're always trying to take a dump over.
You're very gullible.
You do it with Mike Coppinger, my personal friend, Mike Coppinger. You do it with him all the time. Him and I don't approve. I'll just say that right out now.
You're very naive when it comes to believing these mainstream media propaganda sites.
I can't get to that whole conspiracy thing that you're in, man. I really can't. I can't get there yet. I'm trying. Give me a while.
I don't want you to believe everything someone tells you. There's such a thing called bad journalism.
Are you saying Mike Coppinger, bad journalist?
He's below average.
How dare you?
He's below average.
He worked that ring. What's the matter with you? Jesus. Show some decorum. You think the Benavidez fight happens?
I'm 99.9% sure it happens in September. If Canelo doesn't lose his next fight, and Benavidez doesn't lose his next fight.
Who's he fighting next?
Benavidez. I would not be surprised if Benavidez fights Munguia next.
I would be shocked if he fights Munguia next.
Surprised.
I would think that Canelo would be more in line to fight Munguia next than Benavidez.
I wouldn't be surprised if he fights him next.
Yeah, G Funky, well, we were talking about this too. He says Crawford, me and you were talking about this before the show. He said Crawford is a real possibility next.
Maybe I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm 99.9% sure Benavidez is in September.
Yeah.
I'm about 80% sure Crawford's in May.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think Crawford wins that fight? Listen, we all know he's slowing down. Canelo is slowing down. Crawford is a strong dude, man. And he knows how to fight.
Crawford can win that fight, but guess what?
Canelo should.
I think Canelo will win that fight.
I think Canelo should. Crawford could.
Canelo will win that fight.
That's a good fight, man. Wow, that's a good fight. You know what? I'm going to tell you right now. I love that fight. A lot of people are pissing on that fight. I love that fight.
Crawford's a phenomenal boxer. But Crawford is gonna hold his feet at some point in that fight. And when he does, he's going to get hit. He's going to get hit.
And so is Canelo. And he's a sharp puncher. Crawford is a sharp. Crawford can get you out of there, man. And I think his power is going to carry. I really do. He's a big guy. He's a strong guy.
Crawford
knows how to wrestle. Canelo's not going to be able to bully him around there either. You know what I mean? Crawford knows how to wrestle. He knows how to inside fight. He knows how to turn
people. Are you picking Crawford if that fight happens?
I'm taking Crawford.
Are you? I am.
I'm going to take Crawford in that fight. I love that. I love that fight. I love that matchup. And I think Crawford, again, is he going to bite off more than he can chew going up that high? Maybe. But I'm telling you,
you know what?
I think Crawford is the better fighter. He's got more ways to win. And I got a feeling, man. I got a feeling.
As much as I love that Benavidez fight, I don't want to say this, but I'll probably be rooting for Crawford. I just love Crawford, man.
I like Crawford too, man. But I
like Canelo too. But if Crawford was to win that fight, what a fucking
so good. He's
what a
so
story
good.
That is.
Listen, man.
What a story that is.
Let's talk about this.
I'm going to be pulling for Crawford in that fight. I'm sorry.
Look, man.
I'm sorry, Canelo fans.
How about this? That was a 50-50 fight with him and Spence. 50-50. And he annihilated him. That fight wasn't even close. So bad, how bad was it that Errol Spence doesn't want to do it again? That's how bad it was. That confidence, gone.
Yeah.
That fast. Yeah. One fight.
I wouldn't want to do it again either.
And let me tell you what, man. Do you think Spence is going to be the same fighter if he comes back?
No.
No way. He took a beating in that fight.
I'm going to make my prediction right now. It's going to be Crawford in May, Benavidez in September.
And Spence was my guy. Yeah. Spence was my guy. You know this for the longest time. I was saying back then when he was coming up, that he was going to be the guy. You know, and I had Spence through the fight, through the with the Crawford fight, Spence all the way, man. I had followed that guy since the Olympics, man, and I had never seen him get pieced up like that, and he was just done.
And Crawford, believe it or not, after beating Spence and doing that 700,000 pay-per-view buys, and he did that victory lap tour, and he was hitting all the podcasts, and he was on all of everyone's show. He was on I think he was on this show, CBS show in the morning and stuff. He was putting himself out there. I think he's really increased his profile.
That's what he needed to do, you know?
I think he did a good job in increasing his profile. I think people...
Pretty well-spoken guy, too, you know?
I think he kind of touched mainstream a little bit after that fight.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
And he came on... And you know what's crazy? He did a lot of media before and after that fight. And we used to complain about him not wanting to do media. But I think once he finally got that fight, his whole attitude changed. He was happier.
Yes.
He was less combative. He was less contentious. He just wanted that fight. And once he got that fight, I think it was like the weight of the world was off his shoulders.
Absolutely.
And he wasn't as bitter and angry anymore. I really believe that. And he did, like you said, when he did do this media, he was great. He was honest. He was a very good interview. I just think he did a great job. You know, and he was on Joe Rogan twice. The second time he was on Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
And this time, you know, it was, you know, everyone was like cutting up the clips and everyone was putting the stuff out there. Mm-hmm. He got a lot of eyeballs on him.
Yeah. And again, man, he's always been a very well-spoken guy. He just never talked to the media. And when he had to talk to the media because it's a big fight, yeah. You know, he had to. And he came off great. I thought he really did. He came off great. But I love that Canelo fight. Yeah. D-Style said that he thinks it does better numbers than Benavidez. I agree.
I absolutely agree. I didn't used to think that, but I've seen Crawford's profile. A lot of people are talking about him. He's known.
Yeah.
His profile has increased since that Spence fight. Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Team Batman brings up another really good, and this is what Canelo actually himself had actually brought up. Canelo got zero credit for beating the undisputed champ at 154. Surely he gets less credit for beating the undisputed 147, who's older, smaller, and has a worse punch. I don't think he has a worse punch resistance. I don't know how you could say that. I don't remember him being knocked down too many times.
He's done trying to get credit from people, man.
I agree. I think he can say that all he wants. I think he can say that all he wants. Money talks, man. And if you're going to offer him a big sum of money.
He's done trying to get credit from people. He's walking in the Hall of Fame. He's set for life. He's playing golf with Tom fucking Brady. He doesn't give a fuck what you think about him. Doesn't. Now,
lives in San Diego now, I think, you know.
Yeah, you may not want to hear that. And sometimes I don't want to hear that. I don't like sometimes when he goes, I don't care what the people want. It hurts my feelings. Like, guess what?
I'm paying for it. You know what I mean? Yeah,
guess
exactly.
What? I'll take it on the chin.
Right.
I'll get over it.
Right. You know?
That's my problem, not his.
Exactly, exactly. Let's see here. Let's go to the phones here. 530. Let's see here. Let me bring them on. 530, Robert, you're live.
Hello, guys.
Before we get started, I just want to apologize for something Eric said earlier in the show.
What'd I say?
Called you Captain Cialis.
I did not call you Captain. Robert,
really,
does that even sound
really
like
think,
me?
I don't even
know what you use Cialis for.
I don't think you really need it, Robert.
Joe, I don't have anything to do with those pills, so I don't pay attention.
Yeah, Robbie's all natural, son.
That's right. Anyway, let me get to Bobby.
What he tells me anyway.
You did text me the other day to ask me how to get a prescription. Don't lie about that.
No. Anyway, let me get to boxing here. First of all, I hope we get more fights on Peacock. That's the best stream out of the three of them. That is
out.
That
wasn't
is
it?
Isn't that
a great stream, Robbie?
Yeah. I mean, that yesterday was the first time I'd been able to watch the Peacock stream for fights. And wow.
Don't you love that commentary team though? Isn't that way better than DAZN?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I know they're only affiliated with Boxer and Ben Shalom, but I hope they get more fights. I mean, that was outstanding stuff yesterday. And the fight wasn't too bad either. Number two, as far as Canelo goes, man, I hope you guys are right. Crawford in May, Benavidez in September, sign me up for that. I'll take that all day long. And hey, I agree with both of you. I think Crawford's got a real shot to win this fight. I really do.
Yeah.
You know, I really do. Now, if he won the fight, obviously Canelo would want a rematch, which means the Benavidez fight would be off the table. Poor David Benavidez. He's earned the shot at this. He's earned the shot at Canelo, and he may never get it. You know,
I'm going to throw a curveball here. Listen to this.
Okay.
Listen to this.
Okay.
Listen to this. If Crawford beats Canelo, he's going to vacate those titles. He's not going to defend them.
Yeah.
And guess what?
No, stop it.
Canelo can still fight Benavidez for one of the vacant titles.
Oh.
Yeah, look at me. I'm getting pumped up. I'm going to do the Hulk Hogan
let me bring you back to reality here. If Crawford wins, he's going to keep those titles for the rematch so he can beat him twice. And you know what?
He's going to vacate the title. He's going to vacate the titles.
Not if there's a rematch clause. No, he won't. No, he won't. Eric, do you disagree with me here?
What's
this? Do you think there'll be a rematch clause in it?
In where? The Canelo fight?
Canelo,
the Canelo Crawford. And Crawford fight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know, but if they're trying to make the Benavidez fight, if they're serious about making the Benavidez fight in September, no. There'll be a rematch if Canelo loses. There'll be a rematch if Canelo loses, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. If Canelo loses,
yeah,
there'll
for
be
sure.
a rematch.
Absolutely there
and
will
what
be.
What I'm trying to tell you, I don't know, man. Is that you don't think some of the other sanctioning bodies will strip them?
No, because
no,
Crawford,
I think, again, they'll put a – listen, who's going to strip him? Who's going to strip him?
Nobody.
Who, WBC? They're not stripping him. You kidding me? He's like Floyd. I mean, every generation we get this guy, like Floyd Mayweather, Sugar Ray Leonard, Floyd Mayweather, Canelo, where he's in. It doesn't matter.
Hey,
you know what I mean?
Charlo,
they're not touching those belts. They're not taking those belts from him because they know the sanctioning fees that they give him are going to be way more.
But
if
PBC doesn't always do rematch clauses. I know they did one for the Crawford.
I don't care what PBC does or doesn't do. You're talking about Canelo. His managers, his people, everything like that, they're going to do whatever he says. He's the
And look at it this way, guys. Since he's affiliated with PBC, and if the Crawford-Canelo fight gets massive numbers in May, Amazon's going to want that rematch.
Yeah.
There's going to be a rematch clause, then, you guys think?
Exactly.
I think there'll be a one-way rematch clause. Not for Crawford, but there'll be for Canelo.
Okay.
That's right.
And they always put
that
in place. They always put that in place.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell Crawford to try to negotiate that it doesn't have to happen.
as far as Benavidez is concerned, he's got to stay busy. So, and since PBC doesn't like to work with other promoters, I think his next fight will be with David Morrell.
He may fight Morrell next.
Yeah.
Munguia beats Crawford? There ain't no way.
No.
No way Munguia beats Crawford.
Munguia doesn't have the boxing IQ that Terrence Crawford does.
This guy is off his rocker, man.
Yeah, no.
He's off his rocker.
I'll listen to Jana Beck. I won't listen to Munguia, though.
I mean, come on. Terrence Crawford proved that he's got one hell of a boxing IQ. Look at what he did to Errol Spence in July. He totally made Errol Spence look like he didn't belong in the Olympics, let alone a professional ring. I mean,
why they got to bring it? Why they got to go that low, Robbie? Bring up the Olympics. Trying to say the guy doesn't even belong in the Olympics just because he lost to Crawford? Now what are you going to try to do? Call up the IOC
though.
And tell him to take him off the roster just because
he
lost to Canelo and Crawford?
Anyway.
You take him off the record of even being in the Olympics because of that?
What's the matter with you?
Anyway,
what are you doing?
Well, it was your mom's birthday last week, right?
Yeah, it certainly was. We had a good
happy
party
birthday.
For Yeah, had a good
yeah.
party for
Happy birthday to your mom.
Fiery cake, Robert?
Yep, we sure did. I mean, you only turn 80 once, man.
Did you get her a real cake or did you get her a hostess cupcake?
No. We
did her
the
real cake or did you get her a hostess cupcake?
We did the
what
real
kind of cake
thing.
Was it?
She likes chocolate, so we had a nice chocolate cake for her and had all kinds of decorations and the candles.
Did you get the cake at Publix?
Stop it.
Did you get the cake?
We have good grocery stores around here that make good cakes, so don't worry about that. And the weather sucks out here, guys. It sucks. So.
Did the cake melt on the way home?
No. Anyway, that's all I got for this week. We'll see you next week, guys.
All right, Robert.
All right, get lost.
Oh, stop it. D-Style, thank you so much. He said The Rock's screwing over Cody Rhodes. See that? The Rock's going to come back at WrestleMania or something like that and face
really?
Roman Reigns. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Good for him, man. That's incredible.
It's a big. I mean, that's the biggest match he's going to ever make.
Isn't he one of the partners on the board now?
Yeah, I guess. Vince McMahon. You heard about that whole thing.
Oh, that was sick.
Jesus. And Brock Lesnar was involved in that, too, where he's talking about, pitchers and everything like that. I mean, it's insane.
That's crazy.
If you, yeah. If you guys haven't read that WWE thing where about Vince McMahon and the lawsuit and the trafficking and stuff, like, go read it. It is insane. Took a dump on that girl. Crazy.
That's gross.
Yeah, I agree. 443, you're live.
How you doing? Troy Glenn, how you doing? How you doing? Huh?
Troy, what's happening, buddy? How you doing, man?
Good, good. Listen, before I jump into boxing, you just mentioned Vince McMahon. It's not, it's some disgusting stuff, but it's nothing new. This stuff has been out there for a while now. Just
oh,
different.
You know it has.
Yeah,
yeah. For
it's
sure.
been wrestlers that's yeah. It's been male wrestlers that come out and say that they left on purpose because there was some things that Vince
yep.
wanted them to do and all that, and you know they just left. There's always but anyway. Now
we heard that a long time ago about Pat Patterson. There was a lot of rumors about Pat Patterson and the WWE
yeah.
and everything
He's
like
the,
that. Yep.
That's
he was
the
main guy
remember.
That was causing those lawsuits. Yep.
That's the name I couldn't remember because it was a wrestler, and you know he was African American guy. He was in great shape. He was good looking, and college educated
Brickhouse,
and everything.
Brickhouse
and
Brown.
Brickhouse
yep.
Brown, and his and he
yep.
he was stating that in his contract, Pat Brown wanted to do certain things to him, and he was like, "I'm going to kill these people, so I just rather leave." You know.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then somebody came behind him and took that contract, and you know, guess who that person was that took that contract?
Who was it?
The Rock.
Wow.
It was The Rock that took his contract. Yeah.
Wow.
But because it's all on YouTube. It's a documentary. It's all on YouTube. But you know, the last time I was
out,
on your
man.
Panel,
yeah.
you know, we were having a discussion about Tyson Fury and Usyk. I said point blank, this fight won't happen. I said that. I said, until I see them in the ring, I don't believe this fight's going to happen. All of a sudden, now his eyes cut. I also said that Tyson Fury, you know, he has an Achilles heel, which is good boxers, which is what Usyk is. And this is why I believe Usyk will beat him. Now, I don't know if you saw the video of how his got cut, but they say it don't look like that's how he got cut. He might have cut himself. The Sheik said he got cameras watching him, and he's not allowing him to leave the country, and there's a whole lot going on. But
it was an elbow right on top of his eye. It was a short little elbow. And I tell you, you know, after watching MMA, after
mm-hmm.
feeling some of those elbows too, you just have to graze it. You know what I mean? You really
Did you
do.
See the video
elbows, just bone, man. Yeah. Yeah, it was a
right.
short left
okay.
that missed, and he
okay.
caught him with that elbow. So it didn't. I thought it was intentional at first, but then, you know, you looked at it, it was just inside fighting. That's all it was.
No, but you know, he has very soft, you know, facial tissue and stuff. That's how he got cut up against Wally. He has real soft facial
tissue.
I mean,
yeah.
he get cut up like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the truth is, you know, as long as he stays in country and you know, they don't let him leave, the fight will go off. Anyhow, he's allowed to leave the country. That fight will never happen. Never ever happen. As long as they keep us behind there, he's gonna have to fight. There's too much money being put out. There's too much promotion, which
yeah.
is a great.
Oh, for sure.
I'm sure you saw the promotion for the fight already. The cowboy thing and everything else. This is actually very
yeah,
great,
it's
right?
A- huge promotion.
They rescheduled it for May 18th. You know that, right?
Yeah, and if I was Usyk, I would go after that eye all day long. But boxing is in a kind of in a different space to me because I'm in my 50s. So you got this young man here, you know, Shakur. He's going to retire, and he says he's going to retire. And my question is, how do you retire from something you haven't started yet? You haven't done anything.
Right.
So how are you retiring? Right? That's my question.
Exactly.
You got another young man paying who wants two Ferraris before you even sit down to a negotiation. How do you negotiate? How do you start a negotiation off talking, telling people you want this before you even sit down to the table? That's not how business works. Because remember we had that conversation too about about sitting down and having a negotiation and so forth, right?
Yeah.
How do you go in?
I never understood not even wanting to sit down with somebody, just automatically just refusing. I mean, you see what's going on over there. At least hear the guy out, you know.
And this is the one, and I can speak on this subject. What in the hell is that? When, you know, now the whole thing is Tank and if a Tank and Haney fight, that's actually an African American fight. It shouldn't be fought overseas. What the hell is an African American fight? What the hell is that? Does anybody know what that is?
Yeah, I don't know.
Ali fought overseas, and I can keep rattling off great fighters that fought overseas. Tyson fought overseas. So why is it the Beast fighter? Oh, why can't Tank fight overseas now? All these excuses are sickening, and they're just pathetic at some point. Either you're going to fight or you're not going to fight. If so, shut up and go sit down somewhere, and we'll just watch somebody else, you know?
There you go.
Just that simple. Oh. Look, y'all have
all
a
right,
good
Troy.
Night. And,
You too. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, I was going to say have a good night. And, you know, as I told you last time, brother, this fight will not happen. Tyson Fury will find a way to get out of there. But if they keep his butt in Saudi, they're going to make him fight Usyk. And I guarantee you, he's losing. I guarantee
there you go. All right.
And you could call
on
me
record.
On that.
Perfect.
Call me on that.
There it is. All right, Troy. B, let's see here. D-Style. Where's he at? Thank you so much. He said he wants Roman Reigns to break Bruno Sammartino's record. Oh, I don't want that to happen. You know how long Bruno Sammartino was there? I mean, like crazy amounts of time. He hasn't beaten Hulk Hogan's record yet. Reese Mike, this is interesting. This is an interesting question. Let's go into it. You know, Shakur Stevenson has taken to social media and retired. I'm officially retiring from the sport of boxing. Quote, I'll be in the gym forever, perfecting my craft and helping the next generation become great and chase their dreams. His words, not mine. But I ain't FW this week boxing game. All right. Beebe, Reese Mack says, could Shakur have been so hurt by the criticism of his last performance that he retired because of it? That's an interesting take. I don't think that's the case. I think maybe he's lobbying for a bigger fight.
I do think he's hurt by the criticism, and I do think he's looking for attention. I think he's looking for attention.
Yes.
That's all he's doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that, but I do think he was definitely hurt by the criticism, for sure. Absolutely hurt by that criticism. Let's see what else here. What else we got? Jake Paul versus Ryan Borland is set for March 2nd. There you go, Beebe. Beebe, Ryan Borland is 17-2 in his last fight. His last fight was September of 2022. His status on BoxRec is listed as inactive. Is this really a serious fight for Jake Paul?
Not really, no.
It's a building fight, I get it, but...
They're building him, but they're looking for people that have good records, but they're not dangerous fighters.
They're not dangerous. This one is not dangerous at all, no question.
Not a dangerous fight.
No.
There's zero to little chance of this.
And if you look at the guys he's fighting and the guys the guy beat, you know, and again, I mean, he's fighting not me. But, you know, again, it's not one of those things where it's like, man,
yeah,
tough one.
This should be a routine.
Yeah.
For Jake Paul and
for opinion. Sure. Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney are resuming talks. Does this fight happen? This fight come off? Ryan Garcia let Raleigh go. They said Raleigh priced himself out. I mean, whatever.
I have a feeling it won't happen because it's a dangerous fight. I don't think it's a winnable fight for Ryan Garcia, my opinion. I don't think he beats Devin Haney, and I think they know it too. And maybe he waits a round for Raleigh. I don't know. But who does he fight? There's no one else to fight. Maybe he does do it. Maybe there's no other options out there on the team.
Who else is out there? I mean, he could fight. There's always guys.
He can fight Jose Ramirez. He can fight.
He's not fighting Jose Ramirez.
He can fight Arnold Barboza, but this is the Haney fight's a bigger fight for him.
Way bigger.
And he could lose. He could lose any three of the fights that I just mentioned. Mm-hmm. But at least with the Haney fight, he'll get paid.
Yeah, I agree. Let's see what else here we got. Better Beeb versus Bivol is set for June 1st in Saudi. This is a great fight, Beeb.
It's a great fight.
It's a great fight. I mean, who do you like? You know, this is a toss-up type of fight.
It is, but I like Better Beeb.
Well, it's because you have recency bias. It's a phrase I've coined over the past few months, if you've been paying attention, recency bias, because Better Beeb was the last guy you saw fight. Am I right? You have recency bias.
I got about 7 Better Beeb fights in my DVR right now that I routinely watch. So if I have recency
bias. So then you're really suffering from recency bias.
If I have recency bias, guess what? I'm having it with the last 7 of his fights.
There you go. Carl Weathers, a.k.a. Apollo Creed, passed away this week. I was shocked. He always appeared to be in great shape. He was 76 years old. Looked good. I mean, for 76, he looked great, you know? I think it was Fight Doctor brought this up in the beginning of the show, and I thought it was really interesting. Does Carl Weathers belong in the Boxing Hall of Fame?
Yes.
100%.
Because Sylvester Stallone's in there, so he's got to be in there.
He's got to be, right? I mean, he's the most famous. If you're talking about Hollywood, everybody knows who Apollo Creed is. It's a household name.
He was a former heavyweight champion of the world, man.
And as Fight Doctor pointed out to me, he is 2-1 over Balboa. 2-1? Is he? No.
He's 1-1.
He's 1-1 with Balboa. They didn't. Correct. Now, well, if you think about the third, Rocky III, in the beginning, in that sparring session, Creed got the best of him. So he is kind of 2-1.
Wasn't sanctioned.
A lot of things not sanctioned at Rocky. Did you see him fight Tommy Gunn? Huh?
Those are smokers.
2-1-0, Austin, Texas. I don't know if this is big Texas, but it's Austin, Texas. 2-1-0. You're live.
No, hey, what's up, guys? It's not big Texas. How's it going, y'all?
Beeb just let out a big sigh of relief. So we're good, man. What's your name?
Oh, hey, this is Rod from San Antonio, Austin area, man. I appreciate the show.
Wow.
I actually save it, but
awesome.
But I have to call in. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of boxing going on this weekend, so. Typically, I go down a rabbit hole of all the gossip news, and we got a lot of it, right?
Yeah.
You know, with
sure.
Conor Benn, you know, he looked ordinary after he got busted. You know, that's typical. Wasn't surprised about the Fury thing, but the thing is, you know, it's legit. But Fury has played so many games that people don't have no patience for him no more. So they really don't give him a lot of leeway because of his actions and the way he acts. So this is that. So that's,
you know,
really
called?
Biting me in the ass.
Can I tell you
what
it is? It's called Fury.
What's that?
You know what it is? It's called Fury derangement syndrome. That's what people have. It's
I know you
Fury
love him.
Derangement
I know you love him.
Syndrome.
I know you love the guy, but I like Fury too, man. But this is boxing fans are allowed to be finished of what is it called? Finkel? Because, and I blame the fighters.
Finkel, yeah.
Remember wrestling? We used to watch wrestling back in the day. We used to have the wrestlers that were bad guys, and then we become good guys, and then we root them against them as bad guys. Even Hulk Hogan was a bad guy when he was the NWO, right? Boxers do the same thing. They do things that you want them to do, and, you know, you become impressed with them, and then they start doing some diva stuff or something that just turns you off. So I put that a lot on the fighters. People are like, oh, the fans are so fickle. No, the boxers are crazy. That's what it is, you know, and –
But may I ask you a question? May I ask you a question?
Yeah, what's up?
Can I ask you a question? Have you been diagnosed with Fury derangement syndrome?
No, man. I'm telling you, man. I was a Fury maniac. I'm telling you. I was like, man, I mean, I still go at the guys that are still, like, making excuses on Twitter about the Wilder fight, you know, posting funny videos of Tyson Fury dancing in his tighty whities, you know, when they get mad and they're still talking about it was a bad deal. But – that's just how it is, man. But what I'm afraid of, but what's worse is the American fighters. I'm so disgusted with our guys here. And with Saudi, what I worry about is boxing always has a way of, you know, ruining a good thing. These guys are coming in with money. They want to make fights. And then you got guys like Tank saying, oh, I need 2 Ferraris. And they're brats. They're all brats, man. Ryan Garcia, Keo.
Yep.
They're so frustrating. This is why American boxing ain't going nowhere. You know, the foreign fighters are doing better. But I did love Turki Alashik's reply. Did y'all see that, his reply to Tank Davis?
I did.
What did he say?
Did. He said, I don't have two Ferraris for you, but I got two boxing gloves for you.
Yeah, he's like, I'll give you two boxing gloves. Because I'm like, man, these guys are brats, man. This is what's meth ruining our America, it's boxing in America. You know, our guys are, we just lost it. That's why the overseas is taking over. But with that said, man, I'm just, you know, I'm glad about the Russian facing off. You know, you're going to quickly see the WBC change tune and all of a sudden be for those guys, right? But I don't know, man. It's just, man, I got so much to unpack, so much stuff has been, you know, swirling around the what's that gossip site called where, you know, it's just a bunch of celebrity gossip?
Oh, TMZ.
TMZ?
Yeah. It's all been like a TMZ kind of
week. Eric's on there all the time.
All the time.
Yeah, but it's funny. It's frustrating. And, man, I lost my train of thought. I was going to say something. I think it was about Tank. Yeah, but. Yeah, it's just these guys are just so frustrating to hear. And you know what? I do want the Benavidez-Canelo fight, but at the same time, I'm so fed up with everybody stalling and waiting on the fights like this. You know what I mean? So I would like him to just retire. We need a reset. And the guys that are – and everybody's a hypocrite. The guys that are attacking Canelo – I don't like Canelo, but guys that are attacking Canelo for not fighting Benavidez – they don't have that same energy when Morrell is calling out Benavidez. They're under the same stable. They were supposedly in talks until Canelo landed on PBC Island. And then Benavidez changed tune. So it's just frustrating, man. I want Canelo to, like, ride off into the sunset. Him and Crawford, you know, they hopefully can get a fight. Crawford's up there too in age. And I just wish Crawford would have came out of his show early. And I'm sure he has kind of regrets because now that he is, you're like, man, this guy's clever. He's funny. Like, why didn't you do this earlier? That's right. This is fun. And he's already 36 now. But that's all I got, guys. So I just enjoying the show, man. I'll probably just press replay when I'm at work tomorrow. But
I appreciate the content coming, man. Guys. Oh, thank you so much, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you, brother.
All right. And last but not least, 410. I am the king of Baltimore. 410.
What's up there, Dweeb? What's up there, Mr. Potato Head? How you doing?
Well, you sat on hold waiting for me, son. You do what I say.
Why do you put him at the last?
Do what I say, son.
He's always on the back.
He's one step underneath Big Texas. All right? That's why he's waiting online 40 minutes, waiting.
That's because he takes my call last week.
Wait for me, son. You know why you wait for me? Because I tell you to wait for me. Because I put everybody else online first. I'm the king of Baltimore.
Right.
Start respecting
You're the main event, Jerry. You're like the main event.
He's like the fight after the main event. So like when the crowd's clearing out,
nobody's watching that fight. They're all hitting
the exits.
You saved the best for last.
Like, remember the Kings of Comedy? The Kings of Comedy. How they used to make Bernie Mac go last because he was the best. He was the
That's right.
I thought Steve Harvey went last in there. Well,
saving the best for last.
They didn't get rid of Steve Harvey. Steve Harvey ran the show.
Best.
Yeah, he just did
the
like that.
Very
he
best.
He didn't do it. He didn't
Stop
do
it.
It.
What's the matter with you?
Okay, shut your pie hole one second. Let me get this off. Canelo Alvarez is not going to be fighting Bud Crawford. So fuck what you heard. Some beat writer or some guy at ESPN. Boxing's full of rumors. If you listen to Canelo Alvarez, he said repeatedly, not fighting him, not interested in fighting him. I won't get no credit. When Canelo was at 54, he had Amir Khan move up one weight division. Khan was at 47. He moved up one weight division. Canelo's never heard the end of that.
He went to 160. He went to 160 they fought at. They fought at 155.
They fought at 55. Khan moved up one weight division to fight him. And when he did, Canelo never heard the end of it. I already see online where people are saying Canelo's dragging up a guy three weight division below. Yeah, it would be great. And I think Crawford, man, if anyone can do it, he could do it. They're five. They're both the same height. Canelo has Crawford has a longer reach. Crawford has great boxing. He's everything he is. But people are overrating Crawford off of that Spence win. They just simply are. Spence. Everybody that Crawford fought did better than Spence. Everything that Spence had done had caught up to him in that fight. And it's not to take away from Bud Crawford because he did what he is supposed to do. But that was not the Spence. That was not nothing close to Spence. People were overrating him. Three-division jump, What happens there is he starts fast against Canelo. He gets out three or four rounds, and from the fourth round on, it gets more problematic, and by the end of the fight, he either gets knocked out or he gets beaten up badly. He's not big enough to fight Canelo. Never mind the weight on what it benefits Canelo. We don't know what Bud Crawford can do at 160. We don't know if his endurance is going to be the same. His speed probably won't be the same. Yeah, he might have a boxing pedigree higher than Canelo's, but the fight ain't going to happen. Canelo's got no fight. Listen, Bud Crawford was involved in the most anticipated fight in boxing since Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather, and it did 650,000 pay-per-views. That's half of what a non-title fight with Tank Davis did against Ryan. Half. The money's not going to be there. It's just not. People need to forget about it. It's not going to happen. Canelo's at the end of his career. He's going to take a couple easy fights and either retire, or he's going to take easy fights and then maybe Benavidez or a Bivol rematch. And that's going to be that. He's not going to fight Bud Crawford. That's a legacy killer. If he loses to a guy jumping up three, four weight classes, that's a legacy killer. If it was big, big money, I'd say maybe he would do it anyway. And I could be wrong. Maybe he does it anyway. But I don't see it. And I know people are talking about it because that ESPN writer said that. But he could be wrong. Likely is wrong. That's what these guys do. They spread rumor and innuendo. And also, secondly.
So do you think you have better sources than the ESPN guys?
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm not looking for likes and links. Yeah. During the Spence Crawford negotiation, Dan Raphael, a boxing insider, during that negotiation, he came out and he said, the fight signed. The venue, I can't confirm, but I know what it is. The fight's a done deal. Everything's good to go. Don't worry about it. 4 days later, Crawford came out and announced he was fighting David Avanesian on BOKO Prime. These guys look to get likes. They look to get attention. No one else has reported it but that offbeat ESPN writer, and I'm telling you right now, there's no credibility to that. Just like they were saying a few months ago.
The offbeat ESPN writer that works for ESPN Deportes and is renowned
in Mexico as their top boxing journalist.
That's the deadbeat.
Yep,
okay,
yep,
I got you.
Yep, that guy. Just like Dan Raphael. Just like the many things that get reported that don't come true. Boxing is fuller of rumor and innuendo. A few months ago, it was Canelo's fighting Jaime Munguia. It was a foregone conclusion. 2 weeks later, what happened? Jaime Munguia signs to fight John Ryder. Absolutely not did it happen. Understand, these guys are looking for likes, and you guys should know. You guys should know that. Nobody else is reporting that. Well, he's reporting that. You haven't heard Bud Crawford or Canelo talk positively about it like it's some conclusion. So don't be surprised when it doesn't happen. And lastly, Tyson Fury. I'm a little disappointed, like anybody else, that fight got canceled. Why he was hard sparring just a couple weeks out from the fight, beyond me. I guess maybe that's not so abnormal. But here's what I'd say. If Tyson Fury is the fighter that he has been, and it's very clear by the condition that he's in that he didn't take Ngannou seriously. That was a career high weight. He was feckin' fat as fuck. Well, you can eat those words when you see how Ngannou does against AJ, and you'll say, damn, this guy is for real. He hasn't had a boxing career because he pursued a UFC career, but he's got a boxing background, and he's a big, strong athlete, so he's no easy task.
I think Jerry's outpointing you in this debate right now. I mean, I got to give him credit.
I think Jerry's on cocaine or something like that, because Jerry, he's trying to make an argument. He's trying to make an argument that Ngannou's a better fighter. Stop it.
Well, he is.
He's a better boxer than Tyson Fury.
And I didn't say he was a better boxer. I'm just what I'm saying is the guy has boxing pedigree in his background, and
that,
a big strong
and that
athlete.
Automatically puts him not one pro fight, but that automatically puts him in the class with AJ. Stop.
What it does is it
you're
puts him in a
yourself.
Place where he's not an easy answer. And if you're out of shape,
on
he's even
power,
more complicated of an answer because he's big, he's strong, he's athletic, and he has a boxing pedigree in his background, you see. You can't just always go with
pedigree
the popular
is not
narrative.
The same thing as a world champion, professional world champion. You know how different that is? You have any clue? How different
well, do
that
you
is.
Have any clue? Because
being a professional
a
fighter
champion
versus just
fight
being an
him.
MMA fighter.
You've
big
seen a world
difference.
Champion fight him, and
I will
and
tell
you've
this,
seen the result.
But I will tell you this.
It was basically a draw.
I will
so
tell
do
you this.
You have a clue? It's
Omar Rodriguez
is,
says.
You have a clue.
Omar Rodriguez
you don't
says.
Have a clue.
And I'm going to put you on hold for this. Omar Rodriguez says, I trust Jerry. He has better sources than ESPN. Oh, my God. Are you for real? Beeman, are we having this conversation? Are we having this conversation? Jeremy, bring it back on.
I don't
on.
Have an agenda. You see, I don't
drag
need
it
light.
On a regular.
I don't need light.
Right, Dr. Smith, I agree.
Need...
This caller sounds like he chases the dragon on the regular.
Just
oh, my
comments,
God.
Get him, Jerry. Get him. Oh,
this is why I'm the king of Baltimore, because he can't. He can't.
You got nothing, bro. You got
like
popular opinion, fan
I agree.
Bullshit.
I agree. I'm cooking him. I'm cooking him.
You're not cooking nothing.
It's over with.
You can't even cook a fucking
hot dog.
Tell
me if it sounds
dog.
Like a phony hang-up right here. All right. Now that we got rid of Jerry.
Oh, he's going to cry in the chat.
Yeah, he's going to cry. Of course he's going to cry in the chat. What else is he going to do? I don't blame him for crying in the chat. You know what? If I got spanked like that in a debate, I'd cry in the chat, too. I'd sit there and whine like a little hoe. And I expect him to do the same in the track. He brings up the point again, and he brings up the same point that I brought up earlier, actually. We're going to watch Ngannou fight AJ. And if that fight is even close, you're right. We can throw, like I said, you can take the Tyson Fury fight and throw it out. But if AJ dog walks him, then that fight meant something. I don't care if he came in out of shape. A guy that comes in out of shape, it doesn't even matter. He should have been able to handle Ngannou, and he wasn't. He was not able to handle him. So there you go. There you go. All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on X at jhabib1. Find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73, or you can find me on X at ringside73. Guys, we will see you next week. We had a special time because it's Super Bowl, 11 o'clock, for our UK brethren. There
next
you go.
Week. UK show.
There it is. All right, guys.